his line. This is a message that sets me apart from most of the brethren. I'm not going to preach this morning. We're going to do a Bible study on music. Most preachers, when it comes to music, they're just as godless as the rest of the world. And what they go with is what they like and what makes them feel good. When I get done doing this, everybody says, well, now, preacher, I just like it. Well, then you're nothing but a charismatic, even if you are a Baptist. Well, I saw this and this one happen and God came down and all that kind of junk. And you say, well, hey, listen, right's right, wrong's wrong. Amen. People say, well, God used it. God used the lie of a harlot. You think I'm going to have my daughter be a streetwalker so God will use her? He didn't say it was right, but he used it. How about that? Psalm 150. He said, did you get up on the wrong? I just got up. All right. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. I got in a meeting one time and a fella got up and preached, and you know, I mean, he was right. He was, sometimes we get so zealous for God, you know, we make stupid statements, and I've done it. And he said, you shouldn't praise God for what he does. Said, you ought to just praise him for who he is. And I said, no, that ain't right. You ought to praise him for who he is, and you ought to praise him for what he does. The Bible says, praise him for his mighty acts. Why not? You praise yourself for what you do. Amen? Don't you? Boy, I really did a good job. I was so mad the other night. My wife said, I knew you was going to say something. Anytime somebody applauds after I sing it, my blood boils. I played 13 years for a bunch of drunks out in the bar. I know about the verses we're talking about, that. I know where they are, but I know why people are doing it. They're not applauding God. And they're not. I know what they're doing. They've been watching television too much. They've been hanging around modern Christians too much. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. That's what I like. You get that, and can it be? You need somebody in here with some cymbals, you know. That thou, my God, boom. You'll just let that thing go. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Father, thank you this morning. Again, we woke up, Lord, and you gave us a good day. Gave us good night's rest. You gave us healthy bodies. Lord, we have so much more than just salvation, and we sure thank you for it, and all this in heaven too. Lord, I pray that you'd help me and put a guard on these lips now. May I please thee in this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Now that passage says that you are to praise God, and with the praise of God in that passage, it has to do with music and musical instruments. And that's what it's for. And as far as I know so far from my study and experience in the Word of God and in life and in the ministry, the second most important thing any church outside of the Bible is going to be their music. And if the devil's not going to get you on the Bible, he'll get you on your music. I guarantee it. I guarantee he will. And before this is over with, you'll see that. Because all we're going to do this morning is take a survey through the Bible. I'm not going to be able to talk about the effects and all that. I might be able to throw some of that in somewhere, but in order to get this done in time, we're just going to take a survey through the Bible of music, how it started, what happened to it, and so forth and so on. Music is the one thing that will destroy you. You know why? I think it was back in the late 60s, a fellow come along by the name of Andre Crouch and began to put into his music NIV or whatever it was in some of his music. And I know that people have corrected the Bible and this and that on the radio, but from the time that it started, got to be incorporated in music, that thing has just doubled and gone full speed ahead. Music controls folks. It will control you. You can take music and you can get people to marching and go to war, or you can get them dancing, you can get them fighting, you can get them doing all kinds of things. And this modern waltz home to heaven, boogie-woogie, bluegrass, Christian music is doing nothing but destroying the troops. That's all it's doing. All right, he says there that the music is for the glory and the praise of God. And that's what it's supposed to be for. This world always takes something that is for right and doesn't use it for wrong. My wife and I went to see, we got off for a couple of days, went to see, whales and porpoises, whatever you call that stuff, SeaWorld or something. And I like to go watch them things. I like to watch them, you know, do them flips and swim around there and all that kind of stuff and squirt their trainers with the water and all. You know, I like to see them wave their flippers and all that. I like to see all that. But there's one thing that always bugs me about that. They get them up there in the water and going back and forth like that, and they're always playing some jazz tune or rock and roll. Or I told my wife, I said, you know, the Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Wouldn't it be wonderful if they'd get on there and play A Mighty Fortress Is Our God and have them things doing them flips, you know, and Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken, them things are going. Wouldn't that be wonderful if they do something like that? They won't do that. They got to mess it up. They got to pump that junk into your body and bones and veins and mess you up. What they got to do? I hate that stuff. And for that reason, I never enjoy myself. I enjoy myself till they start the music, and then I'm shot. And I mess it up for my whole family and everything. But anyway, Bach said the aim, and Bach is known in the world as the father of music, but he isn't. He said the aim and final reason for all music should be nothing else but the glory of God and the refreshment of the spirit, not the body. The spirit. Somebody else said today it isn't facing the music that hurts, it's listening to it. Boy, that's the truth. The original purpose of music is for the praise and the glory of God. Now turn over to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 28. We'll just get your Bible and we'll go back and forth here. Get Ezekiel 28 in one hand and Job 38 in the other hand. Now this is, I had a preacher tell me, he said, I want you to come. He said, I need somebody to teach on music in our institute. And I went over there, and that's what we're doing whenever I'm in town, trying to help them out. And so I go through this. I've read books and books and books, but I found out I always just keep going back to the Bible. And I messed up music. 13 years I used it for the devil. When I got right with God and I got back in what you'd call a fundamental church, the best church I could find, the place I was at, and sat down and heard the music, I sat there in amazement. I said, God, what is wrong? What happened in 13 years? You know, the Baptists today have music in their churches they were preaching against 20 years ago. It was sin 20 years ago. What made it right? What made something that's sin 20 years ago right now? I know what made it right. You like it. Let me set one thing straight before we go any farther. The music I'm talking about, I like myself. Liking it hadn't got a thing to do with it. Makes me pat my feet, wave my... I like it. I enjoy it. That's not even the question. That's the world, brother. That's the rudiments of the world. If you took away the words from 95% of the music that you people listen to most of the time and sat there and listened to it, you wouldn't have anything different than you have down at the local bar. It ain't got anything to do with what you like. It has to do with what does God like. Is it right? I like it. You wouldn't believe what I like. If I sat down and played on the piano what I like, you wouldn't even let me preach here. Ezekiel 28, verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sun full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, diamond, beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Now, tabrets and pipes are musical instruments. And I know you might think it's stretching it. I get kind of a wild imagination myself, but the closer you get to the second coming of the devil, and you'll get to that too. I mean, the Lord's coming back, but the devil's coming back. The closer you get to the second coming of the devil, the more you're going to see little dolls and little furry pajama bags and little alien dolls and all this and that with radios in them or record players in them. You say, why is that? Because the workmanship of the tabrets and pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. That's what you're going to see. You know what that's working to? That's working that image that set up and given life to speak, or made to speak, and put it like that. So here, and this obviously, without going into a lot of things, a reference that goes past the king of Tyrus on this earth, here you have the devil connected up with music. As a matter of fact, he's the first one connected with music. Look down there. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Who's that talking about? That's old Lucifer. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. And so forth and so on. Look at Job 38. In Job 38 and Isaiah 14. Job 38. I'm just giving you a background, and then we'll get into it. Job 38 and Isaiah 14. If I have time, I'll sit down and give you a sample on the piano. Isaiah. All right, Job 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? The context is creation. The original creation of God, the first creation morning. Verse 7, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Those sons of God are angels. Those morning stars are probably a class of angels. They wouldn't have to be, but I'm fairly sure they are. I know one thing. I know those things that are twinkling and you see out in outer space, they have what we call tonal quality. That's why they can send beams and sound waves out there and get something back. I try not to get technical. I've been in music since I was 4 years old. Tonal quality, everything in this universe has tonal quality. What's the tonal quality? You take a glass that's a tone. That's a pitch. That's got pitch to it. This wood does. That's a sound, depending on how musical you are, but that's got a pitch to it. This does. That's a high pitch, a low pitch. It's got pitch to it. It's called a sympathetic vibration. The best way I know to explain it, if you ever spent time out where you shouldn't have, and somebody left the snare drum on, or maybe in band you took it in high school, and somebody left the snares on the snare drum, and you come in there and make a loud sound or play the piano, sometimes you'll hear that drum rattling, like somebody rolling a chain over it or something. That's sympathetic vibration. You hit the right pitch and something will vibrate with it. Everything has pitch. Those stars in outer space have a pitch. They have a sound to them. So when it says a morning star sang together, if that's those things that twinkle out there, I don't have any problem with that either. If the Lord says they sing, they sing. He said one time to the Pharisees, he said, I can make these rocks cry out. Know what he said? Sure, he said he can make these rocks, and there might be more to that than you realize too. And he said, sing ye barren hills. You say that's figurative. Maybe it isn't figurative. Maybe when the Lord comes back, set up his kingdom, maybe the hills will sing. Listen, if you were a hill created by God with the trees and the dirt and everything else, and man been polluting you and messing you up and cutting down your trees and everything else, and the King of Glory come back and to rule and reign in righteousness, maybe you'll sing. He said, sing, O barren hills. Isn't that what he said? I believe it. Sometimes maybe I go a little too far. Maybe I'm a little too literal, but I might be on safe ground being that way. You say, well, you're going to miss it 5% of the time. I'll get it 95. That's better than a guy who won't even take it literal. So what you've got here is creation morning. And on creation morning, I don't know what they're singing. They're not singing there. About to talk about heaven ain't going there. They're not singing that. Wah-de, wah-de, wah. You know, they're not singing that stuff. I don't know what they're singing. They might be up there singing Handel's Messiah. Who knows? Might be, you know, Lord knew Handel was going to write that. Maybe he just passed out the sheet music before Handel come along. Maybe the angelic choir with old Lucifer leading them. He was the choir director. That's why you get more trouble out of the music department than you do anywhere else in a church. Amen. Brother Homer's talking about this. I ain't going to play the piano. Amen. Yeah. Let them play the piano. All right. Isaiah 14. Musicians are weird. They are strange people. They're the moodiest. They're just weird folks. I know. I am one. Isaiah 14:12. How art thou fallen from heaven? Notice a connection. O Lucifer, son of the morning. I connect him up with those morning stars. How art thou cut down the ground which did weaken the nations? For thou said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. Is that right? No. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Is that right? That isn't right. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation of the size of the north. It's not right, but that's what he likes. That's what he wants to do. He wants to get up there and rule, control God. You know what he wants? I'm showing you this for a reason. He wants worship. The devil wants to control this universe. The Bible says that what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? We're called lively stones in the Bible. Ah, man, I better not get off on that. And the Lord made the creation, and here's two perfect people, Adam and Eve, and the devil's trying to take this kingdom away from God. I guess the best way to do it would be to steal those precious stones, wouldn't it? Ruin it. Tarnish it somehow. You know what the devil wants? He wants worship. And if he can get worship out of you, whether you even know you're worshiping him or not, wouldn't make any difference. If he gets worship out of you, then you've had it. He's getting worship out of a lot of folks. Take your Bible and turn it to Luke. Luke. Now, he was the anointed cherub that covered. He fell. That's that thing that Dr. Ruckman put up in here. No gap theory to it. That's the truth. Somewhere between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, this thing happened in Isaiah 14, and the devil fell. He's connected with music. It's created in him. The day was created. It's in him. It's put in him. And if he fell, then he's going to take his music. And people come along and they say, well, music is neither good nor bad. You ever hear that? Stuff. It's neither good nor bad. It just all depends on how you look at it. It's amazing how humanistic Christians get. How situation ethics and value systems Christians can get. But I grew up under a father that taught me it was right or it was wrong. You know what Spurgeon said? Spurgeon said, you never have to choose between the lesser of two evils. He said, if you ever have to, don't. He said, there's always a right way out. You know what our problem is? We don't want to look for the right way. Luke 4:6. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee. He took him up to a mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. That's the first television that the devil messed up. Now, the Lord had gave them visions back in the Old Testament. You know what that old television does? Shows you all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. What's he want? Verse 7, if thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Now, in Psalm 150, and if you want to write some passages down, you can go to Psalm 96 and Psalm 95 and Psalm 33 and Psalm 99. There's over 500 references in the Bible to music. Now, if there's over 500 references in the Bible to music, don't you know that's an important subject? Don't you know that has something to do? I mean, if God puts 500... There isn't that many on soul winning nearly. I mean, not even coming close. If there's that many references in the Bible to music, it's very important to God. That's direct references. So the devil wants worship. He wants that worship from the Lord, and he wants it from you. Now let's go back to Genesis 4, and let's run through the Bible. Genesis 4. The devil fell. He fell because he got lifted up. Same reason you and I fall. We fall because pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. But I'm glad he says the righteous fall, he holdeth him up. So I'm glad. Genesis 4 and verse 20. Now you have coming down here a bunch of folks coming from Cain. The Bible says in 16, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. And then he gives, and he built a city. In verse 17, then he gives a line coming down from Cain. And in verse 20, he says, and Adah bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, of such as have cattle. 21, and his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, instructor of every artificer in brass and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. So here you have music coming down through Cain, and the Bible says in 1 John 3 that Cain was of that wicked one. Eve said she got a man from the Lord, but Timothy said she was deceived in childbearing, and God said in 1 John 3 that Cain didn't come from God, said Cain was of that wicked one. So you got him coming down through here, and he's got in his line are folks who make brass and iron. And in that line comes some musical instruments, and in that line comes music. There's one, the father of all such as handle the harp and the organ. Take your Bible again, go to Job 21. Let's see what happens. The Lord wasn't too fond of the music in that day, as it was in the days of Noah. It's amazing with Christians, they think everything, they think Darwin's wrong until it comes to them. They think Darwin's wrong until it comes to them. They think that, no, nothing gets better, all degenerates, except for me. That's exactly right. He says, as it was in the days of Noah. You got all these corrupt Bibles coming out. I got news for you. You got all this corrupt teaching coming out. All this corrupt preaching coming out. All corrupt music coming out. You know what's going? It's all going downhill. When he said falling away, he wasn't talking about the rapture in 2 Thessalonians. Darwin's wrong all the way through. It's so bad that the Bible says, when he comes, shall he find faith? That's how bad it is. It keeps going down and down and down. How many times a guy get up and preach, and what do they use for example? Somebody 200 years ago? You want to talk about somebody walking with God? What do they use for examples? You know why? Brother Sam, I don't want to steal his thunder. He got a little illustration about a couple of cars. That's why. It's because we're just not the caliber they were. I mean, if you're running the best you can run, you're just not the case. You say, well, it's the same God. It's the same God. But the raw material is not quite as good. Amen. Amen. Job 21:11. I hate that. I don't like saying that because, I mean, I'm not 200 years old. That means I'm in the same boat with you. Job 21:11. They send forth their little ones like a flock. Their children dance. They take the timbrel and harp, rejoice at the sound of the organ. I've been in preachers' homes, and they had the TV on, the cartoons blaring, and the music playing. A little 4 or 5-year-old kid just kind of dance around a little bit, and they all think it's cute. Well, I'm sorry, brother. 13 years running from God, spending my time in Dixieland houses and jazz houses and country western houses and rock and roll houses and playing for that and sending people to hell, I don't see anything cute about it. I don't see anything cute, train them up in the way they're going and not depart from it when they're old. I don't see anything cute about it. I don't know what happened to a little girl. They think all that's cute. It's cute now. It isn't cute 20 years from now. They spend their days in wealth and in a moment go down the grave. Who are these people? Therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. You know what a Christian doesn't want to know? The knowledge of God's ways. Endure sound doctrine. As it was in the days of Noah. That's what this is talking about. I'll show you that in a second. They don't want that. They want to feel good. And amen, I'm all for it. I shout the rest of them. I've thrown crutches and busted rivets on my braces, kicking a pulpit and threw song books, and I'd run the aisle if I could. One night down there at Brother East Steps, I finally just had all I could take, and I called the biggest guy over there in that place. I said, pick me up and let's run this aisle. I'm all for it. But I know something. I know from doing hospital work and nursing home work, I know that the closer a person gets to death, the harder he tries to prove he isn't dying. I know that. What is the Almighty that we should serve Him, and what profit should we have if we pray unto Him? Don't you know that's the day and age you live in? You know why God's, you people serve God? For profit. I'm not talking about Jim and Tammy. I'm not just talking about money in the bank. I'm talking about fundamental Bible-believing Christians. What is this? That's the fruit of their music. Do you notice that? You notice that dancing in there? You notice the timbrel and the harp and the organ? But this music is not bringing them to sound doctrine. Who are these people? Look at chapter 22. Chapter 22 and verse 15. Hast thou marked the old way which wicked men have trodden, which were cut down out of time, whose foundation was overflown with a flood? Who are they? 17. 22:17 will match 21:15. 14 and 15, which said unto God, depart from us. And what can the Almighty do for them? What this is, it's the days of Noah. Music degenerated. On creation morning, they're singing, shouting, praising unto God. And the devil got kicked out and fell and came down and messed it up and got a hold of some folks in Cain's line. And what happened to them? That music degenerates. They don't praise God anymore. Their music doesn't even want them to know the knowledge of His ways. Notice they're religious folks. They say unto God. They're not atheists. They're probably in church. Amen. I told you. Their children dance. God wipes them out with a flood. Genesis 6. Turn to Exodus 15. Exodus 15 is the first recorded song in the Bible. Now we'll look at what a musician would call the lyrics, the words. The words are important. You can have the right words and the wrong music and it'll foul everything up. Words are important, very important. I got in a camp meeting one time and I sit down there and they all got going and got, you have to be careful when you get on that emotional high. I'm not against that. You got to be careful with that because you're very vulnerable then. They got on that thing, they're all standing up and they're singing a song. I utterly detest. I detest that song because of the words. I know, you all probably like it. It wouldn't make me a bit of difference. So they stood up and they all started singing, "The cross is my statue of liberty." And I pulled my family down and said, "Don't sing that song. Cross is not my statue. No, sir. I'm no Catholic. It's not my statue. And I got news for you. I'm not going to worship it." And that puts that thing in direct relationship to that Holy Mary that's sitting out in that water out there in New York. You know where that thing came from? Came through France. You know who gave it to us? The Pope. Do you know why? Because he knew he was going to get this country back. You don't believe that? Wait a couple weeks. I'm patriotic. I love my country. If I didn't love my country, I'd be putting out the slop Dobson and Swindoll and the rest of them put out. I love my country. I'd like to see her get right with God. I don't guess she will. But I'd like to see it. Exodus 15. This is called the Song of Deliverance. Let's look at some things here. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. People don't sing the Lord. I watch them congregation singing, and they'll be singing a song, "Oh, victory in Jesus." And they're looking outside and looking up and looking down and doing everything in the world. You know why? They don't have no victory. Well, we can't preach. He says, "I will sing unto the Lord." Look at verse 2. "The Lord is my strength and song. He'd become my salvation. He's my God, my father's God." Verse 3. "The Lord is a man of war." Look at verse 6. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord. Look on down there at verse 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Look down at verse 16, the last part of the verse. O Lord, till the people pass over. Look at 17. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord. Look at 18. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. Look at verse 19. The Lord. You know what the theme of Moses' song is? The Lord. His greatness. His majesty. His ability to deliver. I'm just as guilty as the next guy in this stuff. I'd rather get down there and I sing songs about heaven all the time. Amen. I'm glad for that. I'm glad I'm going home to heaven. I'm thankful that I have a home in heaven and a brand new body and all that. That excites me. I'm glad for that. But I'm gonna tell you something. The major theme I'll be singing about Jesus Christ and the Lord. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be going to heaven. That's what this theme. You know, modern Christianity, you know what the theme of their music is? What can God do for me? If you want to know the basic difference between the last 50 years in Christian music and the time before that, the basic difference is modern Christianity says, what can God do for me? And the old time Christianity said, God did for me, what do I owe him? Brother Holman said it. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. But modern Christianity treats God like a vending machine. Pop your little two-bit prayer in and get what you want. I'll digress just enough. Mrs. Ertis went home to be at the Lord, her father-in-law, John's father, went down the funeral, sang a song, and then he got up and he said, you know something? He said, God has answered every prayer in my life. He said he didn't answer this one. And he's talking about, you know, affirmative answer. And he said, I got on my knees and I said, God, why? Why didn't you answer that prayer? And he said, you know what the Lord told me? He said, the Lord told me I didn't answer that prayer just to show you that you're not running things. You know what modern Christianity thinks? They think God's a dog. Here, Lord. Here, Lord. Over here. Amen. And it shows forth in their music. I know this is hard stuff, and I know who this hits, and I know. I got some of my best friends in ministry. I don't even allow their music in my house. You say, why? I love them. Pray for them. I got nothing against them. Think they're wonderful people and good preachers. But they didn't save me. And they couldn't have saved me if they wanted to. God saved me. You know what's wrong with you people right now? You're so full of this Christianity that loves people. And I'm not against that. The Lord had compassion on people. But I tell you what you need. You need to learn to love God. That's what you need. Okay, we better get going. The theme of Moses' song is the Lord. You know what the theme of the world's music is? I told you what the theme of Christian music is. The theme of the world's music, if I can find it, wrote it down here. I never can remember it. It's drugs, sex, rebellion, false religion, and devils. I used to sing a song out in the world said, I've been searching for the daughter of the devil himself. I've been searching for an angel of light. That was written by a lost fella. You sing a song about bridge over troubled waters and talking about dope and all the rest of that kind of stuff. I've forgotten most all that. Every once in a while some words have come back in my head. I've forgotten it. If you want to compare some passages, compare Isaiah 12 and 2 Samuel 22 if you want to know about that. You know what? I don't mind all these little courses we teach our kids. I'm all for them, but you know what we've done? We've not only gotten away from the old book, we've gotten away from the old hymn book. There's nothing better than getting a bunch of little old kids up singing these old hymns. They can learn "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Amen. "Sweet By and By." That's got a lot, you know, that's compromise halfway in between. That'll be all right. You're not going to get a better song. There is no modern Christian songwriter that can match All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, Let Angels Prostrate Fall. Nobody can match that. And can it be that I should gain an interest in my Savior? Nobody can match that. All this Gaither inspiration, cathedral, all this junk, you couldn't match that. Can't match it. You say, why? I'm like that on music because I know music. I'm no specialist. I don't go around. This is the first time, I think, in 3 years or maybe 2 years I've even put this out. Because I'm not going to be no specialist, but I know what I'm talking about. I know this morning I'm right on my ground. And I know what I'm talking about. All Hail the Power, all that kind of stuff. Look at verse 20. Verse 20 says, Miriam, the prophetess, sister Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out with her with timbrels and dances. Now, that's, you've got any sense here this morning? You know, I'm not talking about the kind of dance that goes through people's minds and when you say dance. I don't know exactly what they did, but I never will forget, and I guess he's not here, but I never will forget, we were down in Pensacola in one graduation, and old Matt Welsh from Michigan, he was sitting down in the front row. And some lady got up to sing, I don't know who it was, it might have been Mrs. Theophanopoulos, and got up to sing or something. Before she sang, she was pouring out her heart and getting right with God. I mean, it was kind of strange, and confessing, ask forgiveness, this and that and everything, and started singing. But before she got to singing, old Matt Welch jumped about 4 or 5 feet up in the air with his legs, you know, just out like that, and bounced up and down. He said, glory to God, praise God, Jesus is alive, he's real, and so forth. You know, went on about 30 seconds like that and sat down. Now, I never seen that out of a Yankee. And they're, you know, all reserved and this and that. Boy, and he sat down on that bench, and it wasn't 5 seconds later, and he's up doing it again. You say, what's that? I think that's biblical dancing. That's what I think that is. I think that's David leaping and shouting for joy when he come back through there. You see, I'm not against that. You got it all wrong. Well, if you got to preach about it and pump it up, I don't know how, you know, I don't know how much God it is. I don't know. Could be wrong. I'm not even worried about that. I don't even care if it's done in the flesh. People say, well, shouting's in the flesh. Well, you sit on 40 pounds of it anyway. Amen. I mean, you shout in the flesh at a ball game, I'd shout on credit or something. The proper dance in the Bible. Let me give you verses on that. We'll get moving. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 4. Judges 11, 34. Jeremiah 31:13, Psalm 149:3, Luke 15:25, that prodigal comes home, and 2 Samuel chapter 6, and in 1 Chronicles 15. Now before we, I'll save that one for a second. All right, let's go to Exodus 32. Now music is restored under Moses. It's restored to its proper place. It's restored to the praise and worship of God. But it isn't long after Moses does that it degenerates. And it degenerates in Exodus 32, and it degenerates around a golden calf. It degenerates around rebellion. You don't suppose music would have something to do with rebellion, do you? You don't suppose so, do you? I sang a song in the world that said, we'll fight our parents in the streets to find out who's right and wrong. You don't suppose it would. Isn't that something I go to Christian schools and say, we want you to preach to our kids about rock and roll. I say, I will if you let me preach to your adults about their music. Why is it their music's wrong? You know what's funny? I got a real friend. I'm not going to give you some of these names, not because I'm afraid to, because there's no need to. I got a friend, he's a dear close friend of mine. He had a tape with a buddy of his, and we were up in New York at a meeting, and he gave this tape. We're staying in this people's house, and he gave this tape. Lay said, I want you to have this tape and everything. And I looked at him, I said, brother, I said, now you know what that stuff is. Oh, Brother Harrison, you're just too strict and this and that. And I said, well, you know. I said, that's stamp stuff. Well, Dan Gilbert got in a place one time, and he caught one of my buddies and sat with him. He said, now come on, brother. He said, listen to that. That's the same stuff you and I listened to out in the bars when we were drunk. And the guy said, Yeah, you're right. And I told my buddy that, and what about a half hour later, she had this music going, and I peeked out the bedroom door, and he was dancing down the hall. I said, gotcha. But that wasn't the kicker. The kicker was when this old fella come in, this fella come in the door from work, as this lady's husband had come in and got off the truck, walked in the kitchen door, and his tape was on, and he stopped right at the door, and he said, what's that? I thought we got rid of all them tapes when we got saved. I looked at my friend and laughed. Yeah, we're still buddies. I mean, you know, but I'm not going to compromise the truth because we're buddies. Quiet in here. You know why? Some of you have. Exodus 32. I'd rather be a buddy with God than a buddy with you. Exodus 32. Look at verse. What am I looking for? I'm looking for verse 17. In verse 17, the Lord's given the tables to Moses, and Joshua is down there. They're coming off the mount. Moses and Joshua are coming together. Moses was raised in Egypt. Moses knows the culture, the music, the language, the books. He knows about it. And they're coming off that mount, and it says in 17, when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there's a noise of war in the camp. I want you to notice right there in that verse that just because they're shouting doesn't mean they're shouting over the right thing. The Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. You know what I found myself doing sometimes? I found myself shouting to drown out God talking to me. I bet you never found yourself doing that, but I found myself doing that. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, no victory. Wouldn't you say that characterizes your church? Wouldn't you say it characterizes Christianity? On the altar for the same sin, week after week after week after week, you know what that is? No victory. He said, neither is the voice of them that cry for being overcome. No defeat. You know what they are? They're not hot or cold. They're lukewarm. They're not even in the battle. I mean, if you just got honest about it, wouldn't you say, I know there's good folks in the battle and plenty of them, but wouldn't you say that's the majority of Christianity? Not even in the battle? That's why we preach like we preach. What he says, Moses says, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. You know what happened to music? It degenerated. They took off their earrings of gold. Those earrings were a symbol of submission to authority. They're in rebellion. They took off those earrings and threw them in the fire, and out came this golden calf. That's what Aaron said. Aaron said, tomorrow's a feast day unto the Lord. You always got to get Christian on it. Christian theme park. Christian romance. Christian novel. Christian psychology. Christian counseling. Christian rock. Christian radio. Christian television. You might have a shot at revival in this country if you got those last two off the air. You got rid of Christian television. I know there's once in a while some good folks. I know that. Brother Lackey's got him a radio program down there, and I hear Mays Jackson on the radio in Pennsylvania where I live. I know there's guys got. I know that, but I'm telling you, I'm speaking generally. If you got Christian TV and Christian radio off the air, you might have a shot at national revival. But you ain't going to, so. Just see if you can go home and get God reviving you. You know what happened to this stuff? You know what the fruit of this stuff is? The Ten Commandments are broken. Right in the passage. It says, 19, it came to pass as soon as he came nigh in the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot. That's funny because in verse 11, Moses just asked the Lord why his anger waxed hot. The Lord says, I'll show you, just hang on. I agree with Dr. Ruckman. It's awful. If you ain't mad at sin, you couldn't preach. I mean, you got to be mad at sin. Yours. Lord works me over before I preach. And he cast the tables out of his hands and break them beneath the mount. Took that old calf, made him drink that stuff. Maybe you want to take some of them records and pound them, you know, into sawdust. You can't anymore. I don't know what they're made out of. And pound them away in there, burn them down, get all those ashes, pour it in the water, and make folks drink it. down where I were 4th of July at our church, we'd get a whole bunch of stuff together. Some Catholics had gotten saved. Whether they saved their little idols and beads and all that. And we go out on the 4th of July, and we had about 25 guns, everything, you know, 45s, 357s, 20 gauge, 12 gauge, 22s, 30-30s. We had it all. And just, we set them all up down there. One guy had a TV, and I brought one of them Dobson Marriage Destroyer books, and we took that out. I mean, we just shot that stuff all to pieces. We had a ball. That was better than firecrackers. That's the best time I've ever had. Mary's head went flying. Boy, that was wonderful. And trying to hit them little old beads, you know, and that was good. I enjoyed that. Oh, and I enjoyed it. I wish it was 4th of July in October. I like that. Well, anyway, I don't go around doing that. They're on their way to hell. We're the ones who said it. And when we turn around and start letting them set it, the whole thing goes to pot. Amen. Well, he said, made them naked among unto their shame among their enemies. Okay, turn your Bible now to, let's go to 1 Chronicles 16. I don't know how this fellow's doing now, Little Richard. I don't know if you remember who he was. He supposedly got saved. And I don't know, this is years ago, a few years back. I don't know what he's doing now. He's probably back in the, you know, who knows. But he supposedly got saved. And he got on that, one of them things, PTL or 700 Club or something. And he got on that. And they asked him, you know what he's going to do? He says, I'm going to go back in the ghetto. He said, I'm going to give my people a King James Bible. That's what he said. And then the guy asked him, he said, how about just one of your old songs, just for old time's sake? How about getting on the piano? We're talking about Christian program. Well, you know, I mean, Christian, Johnny Carson. And said, how about just for old time's sake, you know, just one of your old. He looked at me and said, you understand? So I said, I got saved. Now, I don't know how he's lasted or if he did last or, I mean, if he got saved, he's saved. You know how it goes. I don't know how long he stuck with that, but I sure appreciate it at that time. You know, after 13 years of mess around the bar, I sit down in a church on a Sunday morning. I sit down there behind this lady with this huge big hat I couldn't hardly see around. And I was trying to see because I was listening. They had somebody playing, and all of a sudden I was listening, and the thing was going, psh, psh. I said, boy, I know that sound. I know that sound anywhere. And Dr. Ruckman said he knows the sound of a rifle falling. I know that sound. Psh, psh, psh. And I looked up over around that lady's hat and looked up there, and here's this guy sitting with a full trap drum set, the bass drum, a tom-tom, two different sizes of tom-toms, a snare drum, a hi-hat cymbal, and the big round cymbal and the little cymbal, and he's sitting up there with them brushes. I said, what is this? It cost me something to get right with God. I'm not griping about it. I mean, it didn't cost me what I deserved. But it cost something. After 13 years of running, when the Holy Ghost came into my heart and said, hey, bud, are you ready to quit? I said, Lord, if I stop and quit now and turn around, I know what's going to happen. And you know what the Lord said? He said, you're absolutely right. That's what's going to happen. And then I sit down in church and hear the same thing that I hear out in the bar. You know what they do now? They get up and say, these are good godly folks. Well, if you can't use that as an alibi for changing the Word of God, how come you can use it for that? I know these people. They're local church people and they tithe. How come you always have to justify the bad stuff? Amen. How come you come along and folks like Danny and Dee Dee Hall or Brother Sam and his wife, and they get up and sing. How come nobody says, now these are good godly folks and you can like that music, they tithe and they... How come you don't have to justify the good stuff? You one man has to justify the junk. That's what he's got to justify. You know why? Because it cut him to the heart. That's why. Maybe the reason we have so much problem in our Christian schools with the rock and roll and the dope, and they got the problem, maybe it's because the music didn't change, just the lyrics. I know it's getting popular, I know it's heavy, and I know it's landing heavy, but Brother Homer will get us all back in perspective here in a minute. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. I want to give you some things here. Look at verse 7. David restores music. He's called the sweet psalmist of Israel. He's the psalmist of Israel. In verse 7, from verse 12, it gives you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 reasons for music. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Verse 8, give thanks unto the Lord. That's what it's for. Call upon his name. That's what it's for. People will call on his name. And make known his deeds among the people. That's what music's for. To praise his mighty acts. Sing unto him. You ever do that? I mean, not in front of people. Not church. In the closet. You ever get down in prayer and just sing to God? Why shouldn't you? I mean, if he put a song in your heart, sing it back to him. I like little kids. They'll go around and make up songs about God. You ever hear a little kid walking around the house or something when he's not aware that anybody's around, you know? Oh, God, I love you. And I thank you for today, Lord, and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. It's childish. Good. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. That's what it's for. Let the heart of them that rejoice, it's for rejoicing, that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord, if you get people to seek him, and his strength. Seek his face continually. Music's for remembrance. Remember his marvelous works that he had done, his wonders in the judgment of his mouth. He gives us songs in the night. Music's restored. There's a revival under David. And it doesn't take long for it to degenerate. Turn to Amos. Book of Amos. I'm going fast as I can. We'll be done here. Probably about right, it looks like. Maybe I'll have time to give you an example of something. Amos chapter 6. Verse 3. Verse 1 says, woe to them that are ease in Zion. Verse 3. John Wesley said that you must be careful and on your guard when everything's going well and fine and you're on the mountaintop and all is at ease. And you must watch out for pride and complacency. Verse 3, ye that put far away the evil day and cause the seed of violence to come near, that lie upon beds of ivory, stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall, that chant to the sound of the viol, and invent to themselves instruments of music like David. They're counterfeiting something. This is the degeneration, this Amos. The kingdom has gotten in a mess. It went through just captivity and out, and it's just a total, it's a mess. Well, it's before captivity in Amos. It's a mess. And God doesn't like their music. Look at chapter 5. In chapter 5, verse 23. Well, go to 21. I hate, the Lord's talking, I despise your feast days. I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings or meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials. He don't like it. So you know what happens to him? He sends him into captivity. Nebuchadnezzar comes along about 606, somewhere in there, 598 to 606 B.C. And right in the middle of that, look at Psalm 137. They're heading off into captivity. I don't question the heart of some of my friends about this. I don't even question the motive. And I'm not talking about it has to be fast or slow. There's slow music that's bad. There's fast music that's bad. There's fast music that's good. There's slow music that's good. We're not even talking about that. Psalm 137. Verse 1. By the rivers of Babylon there we sat. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. This modern Christian music has got people's eyes not on faith, but on sight. It's got people's eyes on this world and on the flesh and on the feeling and not on God. You know why? They don't remember Zion. Music's got something to do with your relationship to God and how much you remember home. Look at here. We hanged our harps. That's the national instrument of Israel. Upon the willows. I don't know if it's true or not. I read a book that said up until this time it wasn't called the weeping willow. But after this point in history it became the weeping willow. I don't know if that's so or not. In the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth. Saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. You know, I was out in the bar playing, I think, the second or third place in my ladder down to degradation. A fellow came along with me, the old Assembly of God friend of mine, a preacher's boy, and came along with me, and we sat in this colony club in Wichita, Kansas, owned by a Catholic lady. And we sat there one night, and he showed up. He was all backslid, lost, or whatever he was. I guess he lost it. And I was sitting in there just backslid as a goose, and we're sitting in there, and we're four or five sheets of the wind, and all of a sudden he got this bright idea. He said, I'll tell you what, Rex, let's sing some of the old songs we used to sing. I said, you mean some old hymns? Yeah, let's sing some of them. They were drunk in that place. Yeah, we like to hear them hymns. So here we are sitting there at this piano. I mean, we're singing them. What a friend we have in Jesus. Old Rugged Cross. They liked it. They're all sitting around there. They're asking for them. You suppose that was a cock crowing? You suppose that was the Lord and the cock was crowing one time? And I'm sitting there playing all this stuff. And then by that time one guy says, sing Ave Maria. And the owner of the bar, she came out, she said, you can't sing that in here. That'd be sacrilegious. We're singing about Jesus Christ and God. I mean, we're singing the old hymns of the faith in there. And, don't sing that. But I've often wondered about that. I had one time I was out in the bar in California and sitting out there, and I took a break and went up there to that place. And this lady, it's about 40 years old or 50 or something. She sat in the bar and she said, are you a Christian? Now, I know that was a cock crowing. That's probably the second time, too. Said, you're a Christian? I said, yeah. How'd you know? I could just tell by the way you sang the blues. I don't know what that had to do with anything. I said, are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Here are two inebriated drunks sitting in the bar, saved and blood washed and on their way to heaven. Having fellowship, I guess. I don't know what they're having. What a strange thing. So I don't believe a Christian be in there. Well, don't be too quick to talk. You might be there next week. Isn't that strange? Man, that's strange. The music degenerated. They get carried away. You know what the world requires out of us? Requires out of us a song of Zion, and it requires out of us gladness. Mirth and gladness and joy. But these people had gotten in such sorry shape. They said in verse 4, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Well, you won't sing it right. You know why you can't sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Because you've been singing strange songs in the Lord's land. Oh, this is wonderful, isn't it? We better get moving. Daniel 3. Daniel 3. You don't think music has something to do with it? You ever work on the job where they have that tow main truck that comes around during lunchtime? You know what I'm talking about? I worked an electronic job one time, and I mean, every day at noon, this truck come through that driveway and punch this little button, I guess, and the horn would sound, you know. Maybe we'd all head out and get our poisoning for the day. Well, I remember one day we were sitting there, and it was about 15 or 20 minutes late, and everybody's getting antsy and edgy, and we're working, and we really don't want to be working, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And boy, about that time, tools went flying, dropped, and everybody went everywhere, and just like a cattle line, just say, what's that? Conditioned response. Pavlovian psychology. Well, looky here. Daniel chapter 3. This passage corresponds with Revelation 13. I'll skip the things, but you know that he set up image of gold. That's what the devil wants. He wants the gold. You take the gold from a kingdom, you got the kingdom. That's what he wants. That's why the popes got most all the gold. Verse 4. Verse 3 gives you the thing. It's just the whole deal there. Princes, governors, captains, judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, rulers, the provinces were gathered together in the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king set up. Verse 4. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music." But Roloff said the reason the Bible spelled that with a K there, because it's sick. Maybe, I don't know. "Ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, all kinds of music, all the people of the nations and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up." You know what sets off the worship of that image? Music. You can't go anywhere without it. I don't like to go in a restaurant that serves alcohol, liquor. I don't have to go to a grocery store, and I know they got it there, but I have to go there. I don't have to go to a restaurant. So I don't like to. And if any way I can get out of it and stay out of it, I will stay out of it. But man, I get some of them where they don't, and the music's just blaring and flying through there. What are you going to do? What a mess. You know what you see? Kids, they can't even sit still anymore. You know why they can't sit still? It's in their bones. I haven't got time to go into all that kind of stuff. But that, when they used to test our ears in school, they'd hit that little old tuning fork. They didn't put it right here. They put it here. You know why? Because that music comes in through the subcortical passages of the body. It comes in through the bones. The skiers in California invented what they called the tone phone or bone phone or something. And it was a little old stereo thing that they wrapped around their neck like this. They weren't plugged in here. They just wrapped this thing around their neck and a belt around here so they could ski and still listen to music and turn this thing, and that music got into them through the bones of the body. It's a known fact it destroys the bone. It's a known fact that if you sit around in a building where that electric bass is boom, 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 and you can feel it in the floor, and hey, Christians, just as guilty as the world on this. It's a known fact that thing will destroy your spine. Messes up the bones. Comes in that way. Body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. I mean, I don't know what to tell you about it. This thing is Daniel. And what sets it off? Music. And at the sound of the trumpet, what do? They bow down. Well, I'm waiting for the sound of the trumpet when I leave. But at the sound of the trumpet, they bow down. And you get in a store, and as soon as the music starts, you'll see the teenagers, you know, just bouncing away and rumble away, and a bunch of white kids acting like a bunch of Africans. Amen. You know, you can talk about Elvis Presley all you want, and I have, and do, and preach about it and everything, but I'll tell you what, 90% of modern Christian music is a bunch of white folks singing like black folks. If you're black, sing like a black folk. If you're white, sing white. Amen, preacher. I don't care if you like it or not. You know what the music's done? It's degenerated to where now they're worshiping an electronic geological pile of mess, an image. All right, the next time you find it quickly is in Matthew 14. You find music and dancing. What's going on there? You got Herod's birthday party and a belly dance. And what happens there? Murder. I went and tried out for a job one time in a restaurant in California. It was the only audition my band ever had. We never got the job. And it was the only one I was really glad, too. Because 6 hours after we were in there, set up an audition and left, some guy had gotten mad the night before because he came in and he couldn't see his food because the lights were too low. He got mad and came in with a gun and shot about 6 or 7 folks. I said, boy, am I glad I missed out on that deal. I look back over that. The Lord sure was merciful. I don't know about guardian angels and all that stuff either. I kind of tend to believe in them. But I don't know if he had mine on vacation and just sent them down, you know, for that. Well, I don't know what happened, but I'm glad. I'm glad I wasn't in that. The next time you'll find it mentioned is Matthew 26, and it's mentioned in reference with prayer. Matthew 26:30, it says, they sang a hymn and went out to Mount Olives to pray. They sung a hymn. Sitting there right with the Lord Jesus Christ, sang a hymn. I've always been envious of that. I really have. You know, I think, boy, I'd like to live and walk on this earth when the Lord was and everything, but you know what? If I'd done that, I'd probably been with the crowd. I know how I treat him now. I'd have been there. I wouldn't have been one of 12, or the 70 or the 3. I'd have been out in that crowd, that was influenced by the priest and the leaders, and I'd have said, crucify him! We're out of there. Music is to be restored. Revelation 14. It's going to be restored to its original purpose. As far as I'm concerned, you don't have to agree with you don't have to agree with anything I said this morning. You know, I mean, free country. I don't care. You don't have to agree with it. It's not going to make me mad. As far as I'm concerned, the greatest piece of music ever written on the face of this earth is Handel's Messiah. I talked to somebody, I don't know, maybe it was this church. I don't know where it was. Maybe it was Cleveland. Somebody said they took 6 or 7 deacons or somebody to hear that thing, the local orchestra or whatever, and they were sitting up in the balcony and shouting amen and hallelujah. I don't know how you could sit and listen to that thing. I don't care if everybody was dressed proper and bow ties, and I don't care if they, how in the world could a child of God sit there and not shout on that? Boy, sometimes I get in a meeting somewhere and I'll get in the preacher's office, the motel room, and get my tape recorder. Hey, the world's got their boom box, you know, and all that. I'll get my tape recorder and put that thing on, and I can't wait till I get down. I like that Who Is This King of Glory one, you know. And who is this King of Glory? The Lord God of all. I like that. My wife, she's from Alabama, never liked that kind of stuff. I said, look, that's just your flesh. I said, this is spiritual music. If you'll just listen to this for about 30 days, every day, I said, pretty soon you'd get to liking this. And so she had no choice. We're traveling in a truck, and I'm controlling the tape recorder and driving down the roads over about 30 days straight. We put that whole 2 hours on, you know, just played and played it. And I'm about halfway through there, I look in the rearview mirror, and I caught Tammy in the back. Who is this King of Glory, the Lord God of hosts, you know? My wife even got the light. Now, I know some of that, you know, that's kind of sound like the mush is caught somewhere or something. I know that. But, man, I get that thing and turn that thing on loud and get that hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, boy, I go wild. I shout her out by myself in the motel room. You can't beat that stuff. There isn't anything in the world that'll beat that. If the Lord takes one piece of music off this earth and puts it around his throne in glory, it'll be that one. I guarantee you it'll be that one. Oh, that's something else. That thing, just, you know what that stuff does? That's like in preaching the other night when, Doc had that thing out here and doing all his stuff he always does. And Brother White was having us all with, chanting and singing and napalm and everything else. And and he had us all going, you know, all that kind of stuff. Well, I'll tell you what that does, man. That'll make you want to get up and go work for God. That'll put something in you. Well, I'll get on that stuff and I'll go preach. There anyway, I can't preach after listening to that. Oh, that's good. Well, it'll be restored. Revelation 14:2. I heard a voice from heaven as a voice of many waters, as a voice of a great thunder. I heard the voice of harpers harping with their hearts. Somebody said, I know there'll be no women in heaven because the Bible says there was silence for the space of a half hour. I know there'll be women in heaven because it says there's harpers harping. Well, anyway. Revelation 15:2. You know the old joke, my wife's like an angel, you know, always up in there about something and never has anything to wear. Revelation 15:2. And I saw the word, see a glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, here's victory, over his image, over his mark, over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, Deuteronomy 32, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Somehow I just can't see us around the throne, you know. Give them all, give them all, give them all to Jesus. I can't see that. I can't see that around the throne. I just can't see that. I can see this. I can see around the throne, you know, all hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. I can see that. That I can see. But I can't see that, you know, that I can't see other stuff. I have a good time with this. Revelation 19. Y'all loosened up a little bit. I know it's kind of rough. Revelation 19. I heard these things, after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. They're singing here. They're singing here. Verse 5, and a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, ye that fear him, both small and great. I know how the music's going to wind up. It's going to wind up like Job 38 with the sons of God shouting for joy. That's how it's going to wind up. It'll be hoochie-coochie dancing, you know, and little blues riffs and rock and roll in there and all that. Not going to be any of that. It's going to be praise our God. Let me sit down and show you something real quick. I'm not even going to give you the periods of music. We have degenerated from the music that was for the spirit now to the music that's for not only for the flesh, but it's for the animal functions of the flesh. That's where we are right now. That canned music, you can take that and can it too. Amen. Made one guy mad about that. I said, hey, if you ain't got a piano player, sing without one. They do in Russia. I mean, get a little Church of Christ in you. Sing without one. Just a little, not much. Now, I'm getting rusty at this, and the rustier I get at doing this, the more I thank God. Because I'll be honest with you, sometimes my music gets tainted a little bit with that bad beat and some of the wrong chords and things, and I catch it, and I do the best I can to keep it out of me. 13 years is a lot to go. Sometimes I'll be singing and pleading the blood while I'm singing because I know it ain't no good. I don't sing to. It makes me mad people applaud because I don't sing for entertainment. I don't even have a music ministry. I don't have one. I don't go to churches to just sing. I mean, I go to a meeting or something. I don't have a music ministry. I can't get on that. We've really cheapened all that stuff, too. All right. Let's take one here. All right. What a friend we have in Jesus. Dance music. The words say, what a friend we have in Jesus. The music doesn't. Music says, what a friend we have in the world. Amen. What a friend we have in Jesus. What the words say, that's what the words say. Dance music. Fall down and worship me. What he wants. We're not talking about what you like. We're talking about what does God like. We're talking about what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Or what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sin and grief to bear. What a pile of junk. And you know what's wrong? The modern Christian doesn't see anything wrong with that. Most of you in here, you're not going to get messed up with rock and roll. If it's down south, you know what the problem is? And there's some good hill music down south that's clean, and the beat's right, and it's all gets good. But if it's down there, you know what gets them? Country western, and bluegrass, and gospel. I know. I got lost relatives that would spend all night at a gospel singer. I wouldn't spend 5 minutes listening to any of this preaching that went on this week. If a lost man likes it, better be careful. You know what's wrong with Yankees? Oh, we don't like that hillbilly music. No, you like Broadway. It's big production. It's all just so-so. Amen. Lord, thank you for this morning, the time we had together. And I trust, Lord, that some of this stuff will get in the hearts. And Lord, may we never get to the place where we cannot change our ways. Even our theology, if it's not right and doesn't follow thy book, Lord, may we be able to change. Lord, help us to be flexible and pliable in your hand. Our music might be worship and praise to thee. And Lord, in every area of our life, that we might not live just what we like, listen to what we like, look at what we like. We might not live like that, Father, but we might live according to your will. We might learn to love what you love and why you love it, and hate what you hate and why you hate it, that we might be to thy praise and thy honor and thy glory. And thank you, Lord, for the promise and the knowledge and the hope in our heart that one day, all this stuff that's tarnished and tainted and all the sin be gone, the curse will be gone. We'll be in our sinless, perfect bodies around thy throne, praising thy name. Won't even have to worry about the beat. Won't have to worry about the words. Won't have to be concerned with any of it, Father. It'll all be right. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
All right, that's where you ought to start off every morning.